谢谢大家今天早上来到这个礼拜天的演讲。Before I get started, I'd like to use this opportunity to express my gratitude for the Sangha members and the long-time volunteers who have worked tirelessly over decades, actually.To keep this wonderful place of practice here, the Chan Center, so that we have this wonderful place to practice the Dharma together. So I want to thank the Sangha members and the longtime volunteers. 那在我开始之前呢，希望用这个机会可以感谢。这里的常住法师还有义工菩萨们这么多年来，其实有一些是几十年了的老菩萨哈，一直在这里护持这个道场，让我们有这么好的道场在这里可以修行佛法是非常非常的感恩。I also realized that I never remember to thank my husband who drove me here and made me breakfast so that I could be here. So I also want to express my thank. And also Robert Lapidus who had volunteered to translate for me into Chinese. But Hebrew, okay. So I think you can still do that. Yes, thank you. And 还有呢，我今天早上发现呢，我一直忘记感恩的就是我先生他。就是今天开车让我来这里，还有给我做早餐，所以让我可以在这边谢谢我的先生还有 Robert Lapidus 菩萨说希望帮我翻译哈，那所以可是今天好像就是不适合，所以下次吧哈。So the topic for today is happiness and Chan practice too.So which implied there was a one, and that happened in January, and it was just purely laziness. I didn't know how to make up another topic that sounds good. It's really not a second part of what was talked about, so I'm not going to spend any time reviewing what I talked about in January. If you were interested, I believe the audio recording is actually.On our website, so you can, if you're interested, you can check it out. 那今天的开示的题目是快乐和禅修二。那因为说是二的，好像就说是有第一部分哈。可是呢，就是我就说因为我是没有时间去想一个不同的题目，所以。我是说是第二部分，可是今天的演讲是不是跟上一次的上一次不是第一次部分，这一次是连续的所以我不会再就是重新解释一下上一次讲了什么，让我们今天可以继续哈。那如果有兴趣的话那个这些演讲是在我们的网络上面可以听到的。But of course, I will still be talking about happiness and Chan practice. So, taking a different approach today, perhaps. 那当然我还是会讲快乐和禅修，可是今天讲的跟上次讲的有点不一样。When I was sort of doing some reading and research for today's talk, I stumbled upon this wonderful book.And I highly recommend it by Bhikkhu Bodhi, if you don't already own a copy of it. It is an anthology of the discourses in the Pali Canon. And there's actually a chapter, an entire chapter about happiness. So very convenient for me. So I immediately made use of it to prepare for today's talk.当我在就是准备今天的演讲的时候呢，我就找不同的书。那我找到这一本那个 B 比丘比丘菩提菩提比丘的这一本书我想只是有英文的，那他是把那个阿含经，那个南传的阿含经哈都翻译成英文，然后非常熟悉，所以这本书呢其实是总结不同的阿含经文的不同的题目，其中呢有一个一章呢是专门讲快乐的，所以呢那我就觉得啊真的很幸运，那我就把它用可以用来做做今天的演讲的基础。In this chapter, Bhikkhu Bodhi talked about something I think is quite important for us to keep in mind. And in fact, that's the reason why I thought about coming up with these two talks on happiness, was that especially in the West, but actually I think in the East as well, when we encounter the Dharma practice, we often hear the practice or the teaching focusing on enlightenment and attaining nirvana. And so Bhikkhu Bodhi pointed out that may get us to think that the Dharma is not so much about how to, like, about the lay people's happiness here. But he said actually that's not really true. Buddha actually spoke a number of times specifically talking about how a lay person can attain happiness in the world, living a lay life. And so he wanted to bring it to our attention. 在这一章里面呢，那个菩提比丘呢，就是讲一些我觉得蛮重要的信息，所以希望跟大家分享一下。也是因为这个也是同一个原因呢，我希望这两个演讲呢，讲讨论这个快乐的这个题目。菩提比丘呢就讲呢说在那个当我们学佛的时候呢，在西方或是在东方也好，很多时候呢那个我们听到学到的通常就会讲开悟啦，nirvana 中文是什么？那个涅槃呐、那个就让我们想就有这个错觉呢。那个佛的教导呢，不是很重视那个在家人呐的应该是怎么样的。所以呢，可是呢，菩提比丘说，可是这个是一个错觉哈，那个佛呢是讲的用在很多不同的情况之下的讲到呢，在家人呢怎么样可以生活，让我们可以得到在这一生里面就可以得到快乐，所以不用去等到未来生啊，什么要生净土啊才可以快乐，不是的，这一生就可以快乐。So Bhikkhu Bodhi pointed out that it would be a mistake to believe that it is only possible to attain happiness if we are reborn in some better realm, which is believed by many Buddhists. So another misunderstanding may be because the Four Noble Truths is about suffering. And so you might hear people saying that the Buddhists talk about suffering. And then this world is suffering. That's the First Noble Truth. Life is suffering. Then which can give them sort of this impression that it is not possible to be happy in this life. Until you get enlightenment, like since we are not enlightened, it's not possible for me to be happy. So there might be this sort of impression. And but in this sutra, it is very clear that Buddha believed that it is possible for us ordinary, unenlightened lay people to live a happy life. So we just need to know how to go about doing so. We don't need to wait until we attain enlightenment and to be free, to be happy. 另外呢，因为呢，在这个佛法里面呢，大家都可能有听过， 佛释迦牟尼佛第一个教的就是四圣谛。四圣谛第一项就是苦，就是说是在人生生在世间就是苦。那我们就可能会有这个错觉呢，就是说人生就是苦嘛，人生就是苦，就是没有办法快乐是没可能的，生在这个世间就是不会快乐的，都会有这个错觉。可是呢，在这些经文里面呢，就是释迦牟尼佛就很清楚的讲到，一个没有开悟的在家人生活在这现在这个世间，就是有可能可以快乐的。我们只是要知道应该怎么样去生活，我们就知道，我们就可以得到快乐，是吧？所以呢，不是只是苦的。So I thought that I would I thought it might be useful to talk about these two sutras today in this talk in our discussion of happiness today. 所以呢，我想啊，我就利用今天的这个机会呢，就讲一下佛这两个讲快乐的经文。所以这个。我不会很每一个字每一个字讲这个经文哈，可是呢这个是在那个英文So I'm going to speak in English first because I just lost track of what I just talked. So what I'm going to talk about the sutras, but I'm not going to go over it word by word. So this is, I took it from the text of the Nikayas in the Theravadan tradition, but really it's basically the same as what in the Chinese tradition called the Agamas. So 那个所以经这个基本上呢，这个经文是从那个师父常常讲的那个阿含经里面的一些经文。The two sutras, one talked about four things that lead to happiness in this very life for lay people.So 第一个经文，第一个经文呢是讲有四件事呢，可以让在家人可以在这一生就可以得到快乐的啊。那 and the other sutra which I would mention along with this has to do with the four kinds of happiness for lay people that is visible in this life.那另外一个经文呢，就是讲呢，是在家人在这一生就可以经验到的四种快乐。So what the four things that lead to happiness in this very life for lay people? So the first thing is the accomplishment of persistent effort. What does it mean? Here it talks about the way one makes one's living.Whatever we do, whatever means we do to earn our living, that we are skillful and diligent, investigates the appropriate means, and is able to act and arrange everything properly. And this is the result will be we will be able to accomplish success.And the result is the happiness of possession, which is the first item of the other sutras. It talks about four kinds of happiness. 那四件事是可以让我们在家人可以在这一生就可以得到快乐的。第一件事是什么？第一件事就是让我们当我们可以很持续努力可以得到的成就。就是可以让我们得到快乐的。这一项呢，就是提到呢，在家人无论是我们是从事什么的职业，我们做什么的工作来谋我们的生计的话，当我们做事的时候，我们都是要精进努力，还有呢，就是要要懂得怎么样有用的技巧来从事我们的行业，还有呢，就是呢，我们要用心去想怎么样 可以比较适合的把我们的工作做好。还有呢，就是呢，在处理我们的工作的时候呢，都是要有条有理，好好的把它做好，这样子。当我们这样子用这样子的方式来工作的时候呢，我们自然就会有成就。那有成就呢，这个成就一直持续努力的成就呢，得到就是什么，我们就会得到我们有成就的时候，我们就会得到另外一个经文的第一项，就是那个第一种的快乐，就是那个财富的快乐。那个我们有工作有成就，赚到什么钱，我们就可以用那些钱，我们的财富就是我们的钱，或是用钱买的什么东西，我们。 And what's the second thing that lead to happiness in this very life for lay people? It's related to the first. It is the accomplishment of protection. And this refers to what we do when we have what we do with the wealth we have acquired by energetic striving. So it teaches that we set up protection and guard over our wealth acquired by energetic striving, often thinking, how can I prevent kings, bandits from taking this away, fire from burning it, floods from sweeping it off, and unloved heirs from taking it. 那第二个事情，让个在家人在这一生可以得到快乐了，是什么呢？第二项是跟第一项是有关系的，就是呢，保护我们财富所得到的成就。就是讲呢，当我们很努力精进去赚我们的钱，得到一些财富，还有我们的不同的财产，房子我们拥有的所有的东西呢，我们呢是很用心很努力去保护我们的财富，常常在想，我应该怎么样做可以让我的财产不会给偷盗还是那些那个霸王拿走还有呢，这不要会让火烧掉不要让那个水淹掉还有不要让那些不孝子把它拿走不孝子把它拿走，就是要怎么样想怎么样保护我们的财富。好，我们记住这两项事情哈。So, upon hearing this, some of you might have a lot of questions, but I think there's just these two items can take forever to talk about, but I picked the ones that interest me, and I hope they interest you too, and I share it with you. The first thing, one thing that sort of caught my attention is the phrase of energetic striving to acquire wealth. This caught my attention because it reminds me of the happiness research that I read about, which prompted me to talk about this topic actually. And in this happiness research, one set of research finds that people who achieve ambitious goals experience higher level of satisfaction. And this is quite interesting because one may ask, what if we set ambitious goal and fail to achieve them? Wouldn't that make us unhappy if we set a very high goal and then we couldn't meet them? Wouldn't that make us unhappy? Wouldn't it be better if we set goals that we know we can achieve to ensure success? Wouldn't that make us happier? Like you would think that's the case. The interesting thing is that research finds that people who set low goals and achieve them end up feeling that they fell short and actually feel unfulfilled. So they are not happier because they set low goals and achieve them. Whereas those who set high goals and try to achieve them, they report high degree of happiness. So the research findings suggest that it is better to aim high and strive to achieve these goals, regardless of whether we will actually achieve them. And what happened is that when we do that, it will push us out of our comfort zone and challenge us to acquire new knowledge and skills. And in that way, even if the goals are not achieved, we will feel more fulfilled and happy with our life in the process. Right. So, 那第这里呢，这里里面呢，这两项呢，里面有蛮多东西我们可以讨论的。那我就把就是选一两项哈。第一项呢，就是里面有讲呢，这个财富呢是怎么样去挣回来了，就是我们是很努力用很多的精力去争取去赚回来的。这个那个用词是这样讲哈，好，那个这个很努力用很多精力去争取的赚回来呢，这个字眼呢，让我想到呢一些这个有关讲快乐的研究哈，就说呢发现呢一些人当他们呢就是很有那个。Trying to think Chinese， 很 ambition， 然后很有野心，谢谢，很有野心，就是希望可以很有成就的人。然后呢，他就是因为他的很有野心，那个目标定得很高，然后就是要很努力去达到这个目标呢。这些人他们呢就比较快乐的，他们对他们人生是比较比较满足的。那这个蛮奇怪，有些人会问呢，那如果我们定的很有野心，定的目标定的很高，然后我们失败，没有达到目标，不是会很不快乐吗？那是不是应该是那个目标定的没有那么高，然后我们就可以达到那个目标，我们不会这样子比较快乐吗？那个很有趣哈，好像很有道理这样子。可是那个这些研究呢，就早发现呢，这些人呢，就是把目标定得比较低，然后达掉他们的目标了，不是很快乐啊。他们达掉他们的目标，就发现总是觉得好像自己没有做到自己应该达到的。这个程度，那个，所以呢，他们其实虽然达到他们的目标，不是很快乐，很有趣哈。所以呢，这些研究的结果呢，就让我们想呢，这些研究员说呢，其实呢，或许我们就是把目标定得高一点，无论会不会成功呢，当我们努力的要去达到这些目标的时候呢，我们呢或许就是让我们挑战我们，让我们做一些学一些新的知识啊，还有技巧啊。然后呢虽然我们的目标没有达到，就算我们的目标没有达到，在那个过程里面呢，在我们的努力过程里面呢，我们还是会觉得蛮有满足感的啊，就这样让我们可以比较快乐。所以呢，这个蛮有趣的。I thought it might be worthwhile to bring up this point as some people may misunderstand the teaching of letting go of desire and being content as taking it easy in life and thus setting low goals. So while we might be telling ourselves that we are not greedy and we are easily satisfied, we might want to look deeply inside ourselves to investigate whether it is complacency or fear of failure that is keeping us from setting higher goals.It would be a tragic waste of human potential if we misunderstand this teaching. So while it is true that we do not need much to satisfy our material needs, we can still push ourselves to achieve more because that will give us more resources with which to help others. So striving to achieve more does not need to be done to feed the ego. Some people might misunderstand that. Rather, it can be a means to develop ourselves so that we will be learning things that we wouldn't otherwise have a chance to learn. So, 那我希望提这一点呢，因为呢，有些人呢，就是听到我们修行要小欲知足，就会想到小欲知足嘛，那就他们的理解就是，哎呀，不要太过有野心，不要想要，不要那个太要怎么要，要目标定得很高，想要整天想要什么什么，要有什么成就，有些人可能会有这样子的误解哈，在这样子的心态的时候呢，或许我们会跟我们自己讲，哎呀，因为我没有很多欲望哦，因为我也很容易就满足了，所以呢，我就这样子，就是没有说要定的目标很高。可是呢，在这样子跟我们自己讲的时候，我希望大家呢，可以往心里面看，问自己很认真的问我们自己，真的吗？真的是只是因为我们没有欲望吗？还是有其他的原因呢？我们不要把那个目标定得很高，或许是不是懒惰，不想太辛苦哈，或者是呢，我们怕失败，不想把目标定得太高，然后就没有达标就失败了，我们很害怕，很丢脸，那个才是真的原因。我们是要很认真去问自己，是不是那个还是因为真的是没有欲望。因为呢，如果我们这样子很懒散的哈，就可能浪费掉我们的能力啊。我们有这些能力是可以做更多的事情的。还有呢，当然呢，我们真的需要不是很多。可是呢，当我们目标定得高一点，成就结果多一点的时候，我们可以或许有多一些，赚到多一点财富。我们不需要用很多，可是这样子我们就有多一点的财富可以用来帮助其他人，那不是很好吗？所以呢，我们用很多的精力，很努力的去赚取财富，不一定是用来让我们自我膨胀的，我们是可以把它过这个过程呢，用来作为我们自我发展的一个方式。在这个过程里面呢，我们就可以有机会学到一些我们不会去学的东西，因为我们要去努力达到这个比较高的目标。So, while we're talking about energetically striving to acquire wealth and possession, and then working hard to think about how to protect them, this is quite interesting. Here, teaching is teaching us about how to acquire wealth, striving to acquire wealth and protecting it. But then we also heard a lot about this teaching about non-attachment, right? We're not supposed to be attached. So how do we reconcile this, the teaching of energetically striving to acquire wealth and making sure you protect them well, right? How do we square with the notion of non-attachment? So I thought about that we might want to think about this so that we make sure we don't have a wrong understanding of the teaching of non-attachment. 那这里呢，还有呢，蛮有趣的，就是这里，在这个经文里面呢，佛教我们要很用心、很努力 的应用用尽方法去赚赚多点财富，赚我们的财富，还有赚了之后要用心去保护这些财富。哦，那个第二个这个呢，然后我们想起，可是我不是说不要执着吗？我们整天听的不要执着吗？那个这两个怎么样可以又要尽力要赚我们的财富，又保护他，又要不要执着，那怎么样的呢？好像有点冲突哈，有点。那我想或许我们可以用这个机会可以看看我们是不是对这个不要执着这个观念啊，有没有正确的理解啊。It is important to have the right understanding about the teaching of conditioned co-arising. To understand that the wealth that comes into our possession is a result of causes and conditions, right? Which means that, like here, the first thing we do that the Buddha taught us to do, we work hard.Really think about how to do our work properly, do it right, and so we succeed, we accomplish in our life. And so we earn, we acquire these wealth. And then we really think carefully about how to protect it. All right. So these possession, as a result, these possession comes to us, and we can see that they belong to us.Fair and square, right? And when it's in our possession, we take responsibility to take good care of it and protect it from theft or natural disaster. Here, 那个这里呢，我们想这个我们的我们拥有的东西哈，一个观念蛮重要的，我们要记得就是那个因缘观。其实第一个这两项呢，佛讲的我们怎么样去要努力去争取我们的财富，还有要怎么样好好的保护我们财富呢，是跟因缘观有关系的。我们的财富是我们拥有的，是因为因缘，就是我们努力的用有我们的技巧去怎么样好好的做我们的工作，或是做生意，赚到钱才有成就，才有成功的，才有机会赚到这些钱，这个是因缘吗？如果我们没有努力，没有去怎么好好的做我们工作，这个财富不会来的。那还有呢，财富来了之后，我们有没有好好的保护他们，好好尽我们责任去保护他们，不要让其他人偷啦，或是不要让那个自然的灾害摧毁它。这个我们有做了，我们的财富就还是我们的，没有做了就没有了。这个就是因缘观。This sort of reminds me a lesson I learned from Shifu a long time ago. I want to share this story with you. Very long time ago, I traveled with Shifu as his translator, and I was also working on his autobiography, Footprints in the Snow. And I had my laptop with me to type up the interview. And when handling the laptop, I was a bit careless in handling the cord and the transformer, and I allowed the transformer to drop on the floor. And I remember clearly that Shifu scolded me, said that, "You're going to break it. You're going to break it." And what I remember was that I remember that I was a little bit puzzled at that point, wondering why someone who was teaching non-attachment was yelling at me for not being more careful with my laptop. I was kind of trying to figure out. Obviously, it was because of my ignorance. And realized that he was trying to teach me. He was teaching me that when something is in my possession, I need to do my best to take good care of it. So it was really silly to think that being careless with my possession is being unattached. But it's actually a rather common thing to think. So I want to share this story. 那这个让我想起呢，很久以前有一个小故事，我那个时候跟是从师父学到的。那个时候我跟师父去，我忘记去哪里了帮师父翻译。还有那个时候呢，就是要帮在做师父的那个英文的自传。那个时候呢，我有我的电脑然后呢来打我们的那个稿子。那个时候呢，我在弄我的电脑的时候就不是很小心啊，就是让我那个电脑的那个电线啊，那个就是那个有些时候会碰到地上。那个师傅骂我说：“你这样子会甩坏啊。”很凶的骂我。那我记得那个时候呢，就想就觉得有点奇怪，那为什么那师傅不是整天就是教的可是不要执着吗？那为什么在那个又这么凶的骂我，那个要你这样子会把那个电脑的这个会弄坏呢？然后呢我就发现呢，师傅是希望是来叫我就是说呢，当这个东西是你拥有的时候呢，你要好好的保护它，这个是你的责任。所以呢，那我就那个时候我就发现了，如果这个想法是很愚痴的想法，就是说，哦，那个我不要很小心的处理我的东西呢，这个就是不执着了，这个是很愚痴的想法我希望讲这个故事，因为这个是蛮多人有这样子的想法的。So what about non-attachment? And we have to understand we need to have a correct understanding of what the idea of what the teaching of non-attachment is about.It is about the cultivation of letting go of self-centered attachment. And what is that about? Letting go of self-centered attachment. Usually when we hear the word non-attachment, we thought it is about not attaching to the object. In fact, it's really about letting go of the notion that the object is mine and it makes which makes it part of me, part of who I am. So when we think that an object is mine, part of me, then we suffer when the object is lost because part of the I is taken away. That's why we suffer. So one would ask, well, but isn't it mine? I pay for it. It's mine, right? So, yes, it is yours in the conventional sense. However, when we really think about it, it is only in your possession now temporarily. Think about it. You are merely the current caretaker of the object. Before it came into your possession, it wasn't yours, right? So, and then, ultimately,it will no longer be in your possession. It may fall apart, it will break, and then it will no longer be in your possession. Or it will be stolen, no longer be in your possession. Or you die, and as we all know, we can't take anything with us. So that object will have to go into someone else's possession, maybe your heir or you have to give it to some other people. So it is yours, it is in your possession now, temporarily. Think of it as it's in your care temporarily. So the Buddha taught us to take good care of what we have earned and to protect it while it's in our possession. And doing so will lead to happiness. 那这个不要执着是什么一回事呢？这个我们讲到这个 不要执着呢，这个观念呢，其实就是要修行呢。我们修行什么？修行呢，放下这个自我中心的执着。这个是究竟是什么意思？通常呢，当我们听到这个不要执着这个名词呢，我们就会以为，我们就意思是说，我们是执着东西，东西执着我们拥有的东西。可是呢，不要执着呢，这个名词呢，其实是说我们要放下的就是一个想法，这个想法就是这个东西是我的，是因为我们想这个，我们有这个想法，这个东西是我的，就把它变成是我的一部分。那当我们这样想的时候呢，当我们这样想，想这个东西是我的，是我的一部分的时候呢，当这个东西失去的时候呢，我们就会很痛苦。因为为什么？因为我们觉得我的一部分好像割掉我的一部分一样。所以有些人会说，可是这个东西事实是我的，我买的，我付了钱了，是我的，我买的。那这是在平常的那个生活里面讲是可以这样讲哈。可是呢，当我们是细心的想呢，这个东西呢，只是暂时性的，是在我们的让我们拥有，其实拥有还有是要保护，好好的保护。想想看，你没有买之前，这个东西不是你的，之前就不是你的，然后在你还觉得有用的时候是你的，你要好好的照顾它。可是有一天这个东西不再是你的，有可能是这个东西坏掉了，不是你，或是给人偷掉了，会发生呢？或是当我们死了，我们不可以带着吧，我们要把它送给人呢，给我们的给家人呢，下一代了，其他人呢，捐出去了。所以只是暂时性是我们拥有还是要照顾的。所以这里呢，佛陀就叫我们呢，要好好的照顾我们努力赚回来的东西，还有就是保护它，这样子呢，就让我们可以快乐。Here, when we think about protecting what we have energetically strive to acquire, we need to remember the proper mindset of attitude with which we take care and protect our possession. 那当我们呢在这里想到佛陀说我们要好好的保护我们很努力的赚回来的东西财富跟钱的财务的时候呢，我们要记得呢，要用一个正确的心态来做。We do our best to anticipate problems, to protect our possession. So, for example, we secure our home before, for example, a hurricane, right? So that it won't be damaged by the tree and by the wind or by flood water. And when we go, for example, stay in a hotel, we don't just lay all our stuff on the bed, right? We put it in the safe to minimize the chance of it being taken. Or we take care of our money by investing it carefully. These all take energy and thoughtfulness, right?所以呢，这个这里讲的是，就说我们呢要用心来想，我们有这些财物，我们应该怎么样去照顾它、保护它？ 好像如果有房子那个哦要打要有个飓风来了，我们应该要做什么什么什么去让它那个风不会东西把东西吹走啦，不会淹水啦，我们要用心还要去做，还要去努力去把它做。还有我们出去住旅馆，还要不要把东西那个都放在丢到处放，然后就是很值钱的东西也是放在那边，我们要用心拿什么东西要小心放进去那看那个保险箱里面哈。所以呢这个就是要用心的。还有呢或许我们如果有一些财富的时候，我们还要想应该怎么样去或者去处理这些财富，去投资的小心的投资，这些都是要用心去想的。 Yet when something out of our control happens and our possession is gone, we remember the teachings of impermanence and conditioned co-arising, seeing clearly that causes and conditions have changed so that the object is no longer in our possession. So for example, we do everything we can. You might remember not so long ago, the Hurricane Sandy, people's shore house completely destroyed by the hurricane, out of their control. We know someone who took very good care of her house for decades. It's completely flooded, and so it has to be torn down. Nothing she could do. Or you make sure you lock your door and all that stuff, but burglars still came in and took your possession. You know, you did your best, and something still happened, and you lost your possession. You try to be careful with your money and invest it, and then the global financial crisis hit, still lost a lot of your money. Not in your control. All right. So that's when the importance of remembering the teaching of condition co-arising will be helpful. 可是呢，我们很用心很努力去想怎么样去保护我们的财产财富，我们没有办法控制的事情还是会发生的。当这些事情发生的时候，让我们失去我们拥有的东西的时候，我们就要记得佛教我们的无常，还有这个因缘观，让我们可以很清楚的可以看到，因为虽然我们很努力的去想怎么去保护我们财富，可是因缘改变了，这个东西不再是我们拥有的，我们要这样子可以认知。那个想想看那些一年半之前在那个 hurricane 那个大风 Sandy 来的时候，我们有一个朋友，他几十年很用心的照顾他在那个纽泽西那个海边那个房子，清洁他怎么照顾他，可是大水淹了整个房子，全部所有东西都没有了，就整个房子都要重盖，这个是没有办法的。另外就是那个，你或许你很小心的，怎么每一个出门都会记得锁门，可是还是有那个贼要进来把那东西都拿走了，你们也是没有那个你不能控制的。你很小心去那个处理你的财产那个去投资，可是那个金融风暴来，那个也就一半就没有了，那个也没有，或是也是你没有办法的。所以这个因缘记得无常，记得因缘观呢，就会让我们清楚知道那个时候拥有的就是因为因缘，现在因缘改变了，就不再是我们 要照顾这些财产了。So, cause and condition change, we no longer need to, we're no longer the caretaker of these objects. Right. Otherwise, if we look after the object with great care, investing much of ourselves into it, pour our hearts into it, investing a great deal of ourselves into it, meaning it's mine, 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 then losing the object will lead to great suffering. I just heard this story yesterday. We have our neighbor told us, her neighbor at the shore, Hurricane Sandy 18 months ago, the house completely flooded, everything in it destroyed. The owner who took care of the house for decades was sad. He couldn't face the fact that this had happened. Couldn't accept it. So they never went to open up the house to take out all the destroyed objects and rebuild the house. So imagine the mold in that house after 18 months. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of people deal with our possession. We pour our hearts into it, but it becomes so much of who we are, losing it can completely destroy us, and we are not able to really handle the situation with wisdom. 如果没有这样子用佛法里面的教导，那个无常观跟因缘观来看我们的财富的话呢，我们或许还是会很用心的去照顾保护我们的财富财产、哦、可是呢我们一直想哎，这个是我的，所以我这么努力的去保护它，失去它就会让我们非常的痛苦。就昨天我有这个邻居告诉我，他那个房子、哦、在那个 New Jersey 那个海边的时候，他的邻居房子也是全部被给水淹掉了，里面的东西全部都是淹掉了。可是呢那个房子呢那个业主呢，因为他就是这个是我的，很几十年了，那个马达都弄得很好，他呢他相信的没有办法去接受这个事实，18个月还没有勇气去把那个门开那个门去看看里面怎么样。你看想想看，18个月里面都是东西都发霉了，什么那个没有人去处理它。那我们也可以看到了，这样子的心态呢是让我们很痛苦的。可是呢很多人呢就是用这样子的心态来看跟保护处理他们的财务的。So, this leads many people to believe that it is attachment to objects that cause our suffering. And so conclude from it that getting rid of the possession is the solution. So don't own anything, then it won't cause you any grief. So, actually, the suffering comes from the attachment to the idea that the house is mine. It's part of me. So, thinking this way, one cannot deal with the fact that the house is all moldy, because that would mean that part of me is all moldy and it's terrible. It's like, of course it's unbearable, right? But in reality, it is the object in the house that's all destroyed and moldy. That person is fine. The person is still breathing, still has his health. Everything is fine. The objects are destroyed. The person himself is fine, actually. So as soon as this person can let go of the idea that the moldy house is part of him, then it'll be much easier for all the difficult emotions to fade away, and the suffering will be reduced, and perhaps will be able to bring himself to handle the situation. 有些人呢看这样想到这样子的故事呢，就会 就想这问题就是我们对东西太执着嘛，所以呢我们对东西执着我们就很痛苦，最好就是不要拥有什么东西。好，你没有东西呢我们就不会执着那个东西，我们就不会因为这样子痛苦了。可是呢我们要搞清楚这个痛苦是从哪里来的，这个痛苦呢不是因为那个东西，那个痛苦这个痛苦呢是从我们呢执着这个想法是什么？这个想法，这个房子是我的，这个房子是我的一部分。因为这样想的时候呢，当要想到哎呀这个房子全部都毁掉了，里面东西都发霉了，这样想的时候，因为这个房子是我的一部分嘛，那个房子都发霉了，东西全部都发霉了，就意思是说我也是在发霉了，那当然会觉得很痛苦了，这个很难受了，没有办法接受了。可是当我们很清楚的想到这个，看很清楚看这个处境的时候，其实只是这个房子里面的东西在发霉，这个人没有发霉啊，这个人还是好好的，还是有他的健康，还是在呼吸，人好好的，这人没有发霉。所以呢当这个人像这位菩萨呢可以放下这个想法，就是这个房子这个发霉的房子是我的一部分，一把这个想法放下的时候呢，那个痛苦呢就可以减少，因为就那个这些很负面的情绪就可以减少，痛苦可以减少，就可以去处理这个房子的事情了。Hence, if we remember the teachings of impermanence and conditioned co-arising, wealth and possession need not cause suffering. This reminds us of Vimalakirti in the Vimalakirti Nidesha Sutra, who has great wealth. Rather than being a source of suffering or a burden, he enjoyed his wealth and experienced much Dharma joy.那如果我们记得佛法里面教的无常跟因缘观的时候呢，我们的财富还有我们拥有的东西呢是不需要会让我们不需要是我们痛苦的根源的。这样子呢其实让我们想起呢有些菩萨可能有听过维摩诘居士维摩诘所说经里面的维摩诘居士，他是一个非常富有的居士，可是呢他这么富有，可是他的财富呢没有让他觉得很大的负担，没有觉得让他很痛苦，而他其实呢那个财富让他是可以享受他的财富，让他们常常法喜充满。 In factActually, in the other sutra that talks about four kinds of happiness for lay people, the second item that corresponds to what we're talking about is the happiness of enjoyment of our wealth from energetic striving. So, rather than focusing on protecting our wealth in this other sutra, talk about happiness.Talk about the happiness of enjoyment of our wealth. So the two versions of this point can be seen as a teaching on how to handle wealth. We do our best to protect and take care of our wealth and possession, and we enjoy it. We enjoy our wealth, and we use our wealth to do meritorious deeds to help people.So the first part refers to our responsibility in taking care of our possessions when they are in our possession. And the second point reminds us of how to make use of wealth wisely. So some for our enjoyment, or maybe enjoyment of our family. It's okay to go on vacation and have fun and have a nice home if you can afford it. And in some for helping other people, some of the money we can use to help others. 这里呢，就是可以让我想到第另外一个经文呢，我讲到是佛讲的是那个居士的四种的快乐。那第二种快乐呢，就是享受我们的很努力赚回来的财富的快乐，享受我们的财富。啊，这里不是讲怎么去保护我们的财富，我们的财富，可是讲是怎么享受他们。那我想这样子呢，享受跟保护我们的财富呢，可以呢，就是我们可以把它记住呢，怎么样去处理我们赚回来的财富？一方面呢，我们要努力的去想怎么样去保护我们的财富跟财产，好好的照顾他们。然后呢，另外一个呢，就是要懂得去享受，还有呢，利用我们财富呢来做功德，来帮助其他人。哦，这第一点呢，就是我们要尽我们的责任，因为这个财富现在是我们在照顾的，我们要尽我们的责任，好好照顾它。第二个呢，就是说我们的财富要怎么样用智慧去用我们的财富，就是一部分是可以把它用来我们享受的，就是享受我们财富是可以的，就是让我们可以快乐的，可以去旅行啊，或是有个好的房子啊，这个就是我们自己我们家人的享受都是可以的，就是不要太豪华就好了。另外呢，其他是可以用来帮助其他人，那当然帮助其他人也是可以让我们快乐的。So we have talked about the first two things that the Buddha taught us that will lead to happiness lay people can experience in this life. The third thing the Buddha taught that can lead to happiness for lay people in this life is a balanced life. Here he talked about a lay person, about money, okay. A lay person knows his or her income and expenditure and leads a balanced life. It's neither extravagant nor miserly, so that his or her income exceeds his or her expenditures rather than the reverse. Common sense, you would think. Now, I want you to notice the word balance here. Balance. And the Buddha, in this part of the sutra, used the imagery of a scale, like a scale that has the two little plates that it, one side tilts up and the other side will dips down. And so when one side dips down too much, you'll want to balance it. So that's what the balance is talking about. So the balanced living here means reminding us not going to extremes. So like not overspending, to make sure that our income exceeds its expenditure. But it also means that we don't just focus on making money, taking, and never spend any of it, right? Because that would be miserly, and it's unlikely to lead to happiness. So the balance, it's important here. So it's not just don't think that Buddha said like make sure that revenue is higher than expenditure. Well, I can do that. Like I never spend any money. So it's not, balance is the key here. And I want to emphasize that because balanced living requires mindfulness. We have to constantly be paying attention. The very least is that to know what we are making and what we are spending, right? That may not be so easy for many people already. How much money did I spend? And so to pay attention to that, But also to be aware of our habitual tendencies to exaggerate either our income or expenditure. Like we all know that, oh yeah, that wasn't very much, I can afford it. Or, oh, I didn't make any money, so I can't spend anything. Like those are different habitual tendencies that we all have. And with these habitual tendencies, we can become either too miserly or too extravagant, and thus not balanced living, right? So here, in emphasizing balanced living, the Buddha is actually reminding us the importance of mindful living when it comes to our income and expenditure. 那刚才我们讲了佛讲的四个事项可以让在家人在这一生可以得到快乐哈。头两项我们讲了，那第三项呢是什么？第三项就是讲这个，我们在那个我们生活里面要有个平衡，一个平衡的生活。在讲呢，那个在家人呢，应该呢知道他的收入跟支出，那个在那个知道他的那个收入跟支出的时候呢，是有一个很平衡的生活的，就是不要太过奢华，也不要太过miserly， 是中文就是太节省了。太过节省啊，什么都钱都不花哈。所以我想有个更不好的中文字，我就想不起哈。那个实在太吝啬，对，太吝啬哈。所以呢，要记得呢，这样子要想就不要让，就要让他的让我们的那个收入呢，要比我们的支出多哈。那个好像很简单啊，很多人认为这个很简单的。可是我要提醒大家的，要看呢，那个重要的字是平衡，很一个平衡这里。因为那个在这个经文里面呢，那个佛啊，就用这个好像那个天平，这个来让我们讲。解释这个平衡的意思，那个天平的时候一边重了点，就是另外一边要加一点东西让它可以平衡，不可以一边整天就是很多很多很多这样子哈。这个的意思是说，我们是常常意思要看着来让这个平在也是有平衡的哈。所以呢，这意思是说，这个平衡生活里面有平衡，就是不要去这极端。那个，因为有些菩萨听到这个阿弥陀佛说，我这个收入呢，一定要比我的那个支出多，很好，很容易。我只是拼命赚钱，可是什么都钱都不花，很吝啬。那我的收入一定比我的支出多嘛？可是就忘记这个讲是平衡哈，所以。只是记得赚钱，不什么钱都不花，这个就不是平衡，这个是吝啬。吝啬的人是不会快乐的。好，所以这里说是那个佛是讲怎么做可以让我们快乐，好，所以搞清楚这个重点是平衡。那还有呢，这里讲的平衡呢，这是怎么样可以平衡？就是我们要用心。我们要常常要注意，用心在注意我们怎么样，我们怎么样那个赚钱跟花钱哈。一方面就是我们最少要用心去注意到我们有多少收入，有多少支出啊。这个有些人可能就已经觉得很困难了，自己究竟花了多少钱都搞不清楚哈。这个是最基本的，就知道自己有赚多少钱，有那个多那个花了多少钱。另外一个要那个用心的地方呢，就是用心关照我们的心念。用心关照我们的心念，就是我们是不是有一些习性是常常让我们是高估我们的收入的，或是高估我们的支出的。有些人可能会觉得，哎呀，我 我就这个太贵了，这个太过拖钱了，整天就是不愿意花哈，有这个习性。有些人可能就会觉得自己呢是没有，我没有赚到这个这么多钱，或是整天会觉得哎呀有啦，我这个有什么花红啊，怎么赚了很多了，没有办没问题，我可以花这个，整天会有这样子的习性。有这样子习性的时候，当然我们就会不就是很那个奢华啦的生活，或者是他也很吝啬的生活，就不是平衡了。不平衡生活就不是快乐的生活。所以在这里讲平衡的生活里面，佛是提醒我们要在我们的日常生活用钱赚钱的时候是要用心的，不是要注意的我们在做什么。起心动念啊，所以这个是注意。In the other sutra that talk about four kinds of happiness, the third kind of happiness is the happiness of freedom from debt, which corresponds to balanced living, right? Now, of course, it makes sense. Debt causes a lot of stress if you've ever been in debt, and anxiety, sleepless nights,And then, of course, cause our family members to feel insecure, that might cause conflict. So, that's freedom from debt is indeed happiness, which can be achieved by balanced living. And we can learn to also avoid debt by learning contentment, knowing that what we needthere are not very much we need to live our life. To, you know, we need food, we need shelter, clothing, transportation, and know very well, be very aware that our desire is limitless. There's always some other thing, more thing we can get and want. And it's important to remember that contentment is notcannot be achieved just by conceptual understanding. Oh yeah, I need to be content. So like that's not enough. We need to cultivate contentment by cultivating mental clarity, because we have a very strong habitual tendencies to be distracted by desire, especially when we are bombarded with a gazillion advertisement in the day, and lots and lots of things to entice us, telling us that we really need that. So the mental clarity we cultivate by using methods that stabilize our mind is crucial. When our mind is stable and clear, then we are able to observe this desire arising, especially whenafter we see a commercial about something, or we see someone else have a nice shiny car, or we see someone else have a giant, like a brand new $100,000 newly renovated kitchen or something with all fancy appliances, we can see the desire arising in our mind. And with this mental clarity and mastery of our mind, we will be able to see that these are these desires are thoughts arising, that they too will pass. And of course, we're also able to see them. Is it something that I can afford? Sometimes, when we lack mental clarity, we will talk ourselves into believing that, yes, I can afford a $100,000 kitchen renovation, sure. And before we knew it, we're in horrible debt. So when the mental clarity allow us to see the desire arise in our mind, allow that to flow away, and also to be able to allow us to discern carefully whether we are capable of affording certain things that we're considering.Of purchasing. 在另外一个经文里面呢，佛讲到四种的快乐，第三种快乐呢，就是没有负债的自由的快乐啊。这个快乐呢，就是怎么来的呢？平衡的生活里面来的。那个这个是蛮那个大家想。不要负债当然是快乐了，因为负债是很痛苦的。如果有负过债的人徒长们就知道了，负债就是让我们就是晚上睡不着，整天在想我怎么样去可以还债了。那个还有呢，整天让我们就是很不心安，然后呢让我们家人也是很心不安，让我们很缺乏安全感。或许还有让那个家里的人呢会生了冲突呢，所以都是很难让我们快乐的，如果有很多债的时候。那我们怎么样可以生活是没有债负债呢？平衡的生活，刚才讲了，我们也可以学习了那个学习怎么样让我们小欲知足哈。那个我们清楚的知道那个我们需要的很少，挺常常记得圣严师父讲需要的很少，想要的很多啊，我们常常要记得那个呢。可是要记得这个不只是一句话啊，要知足，我知足了，我这样子记得就好了。可是是要修行的，怎么去修行？修行呢就是要修行我们的心要安定，心安定清明的时候，我们就会看到这些欲望升起，欲望的想法啊。或许刚刚看到那个一个电视上面的广告说这个什么多好多好，哎呀好像蛮好的，可以那个欲望就升起了。或者是看到一个朋友一个很新的车子好像很漂亮的，哎呦我们的欲望升起了，买那个车子蛮好。或是刚去我们的朋友家，他们刚刚那个用10万块装修他的厨房，都是哇很就是很高级的什么东西，那个冰箱啊什么，就让我们就这哎很那个欲望很强，希望也有这样子的厨房哈。心很安定很宁静的时候，我们就可以看到这些欲望的想法的心念升起。可是我们也会知道呢，这些想法是无常的，升起会然后就在我们的心里面溜走，好像鸟一样飞过去就没有了，就不一定要去管它的哈。还有呢，心很明静的时候呢，我们也可以清清楚楚的知道我很想要这个东西，可是我有没有能力负担。心不清楚明静的时候呢，我们会跟我们讲没有问题，绝对10万块装修我的厨房我有能力，然后怎么搞了一层就是发现自己负债累累。这个就是心念不清楚的问题。So with the stability and clarity of mind, we'll be able to catch ourselves out when desires arise before we follow these desires blindly. Like, before we know, I signed a lease for this car already. What happened? Like, we don't know what happened. I hear people say that all the time. I don't know what happened. So I end up with this. And so you signed this. So like, but it was because we are not master of our mind. 那当我们的可以让我们的心平静那个清楚的时候呢，当这些很强烈的欲望升起的时候呢，我们会可以让我们不会盲目的跟着这些欲望去走。我们常常会听到女生，我不知道为什么我就去买了这个车子啊，这个很贵的车子啊，因为其实我是没有钱的。那个常常会听到有这样子的情况啊，我就刷卡刷了很多款， 哎，他我不知道发生了什么事情，但是卡是你摔的，怎么会不知道？就是心，就是因为那个时候没有办法做主了，就发生这样的事情了。And the four things, the four things that Buddha taught that lead to happiness for lay people in this life is good friendship. So here he talked about that we associate with other householders, other lay people who are of mature virtue, accomplished in faith, moral discipline, generosity, and wisdom. Converses with them and emulate them in regard to their accomplishment in faith, moral discipline, generosity, and wisdom. So, 佛教我们第四项在家人可以在这一生怎么样可以得到快乐呢？就是好的朋友，善知识哈。讲到什么呢？就是我们呢，在家人应该要跟其他的在家人，做朋友。因为这个一找这些，他们就是很那个德性很好的，那个他们是那个很有对佛法是对那个佛教的法是很强的信心的，他们的持戒是很勤进的，他们是很会那个布施的，很会布施的，还有他们是很有那个智慧的，跟他们交谈，向他们学习，向他们学习怎么样可以让我们的对佛法的信心加强，让我们可以持戒更清净，让我们可以更会去布施，让我们的智慧增长。This is important to remember because some people misunderstand the practice, especially those who are attracted to the practice through meditation, especially with some not so clear understanding of what attachment is all about, may have the impression that the practice is about not being with other people, or try to isolate ourselves with an escapist attitude. And with this kind of erroneous understanding, it would lead one to leave the world, leave the society. But here, Buddha is very clear.That to lead a happy life in this world as a lay person, we should be making sure that we find ourselves among a community of good friends. This is not about isolating ourselves and being an escapist. 这个呢是蛮重要的，因为尤其是一些菩萨呢，他们会有个错误的观念哦，以为呢，因为这个不要执着嘛，还有呢，就是那个所以这个修行呢，就是不要整天要跟其他人一块，因为不要执着啊，所以呢，就以为呢，修行就是不要跟其他人一块啦，就是要自己去就躲起来啦哈，就让他们就是离开我们的社会哈。佛这里讲得很清楚的，要让我们在这个世间做一个有一个快乐的在家人生活，我们是应该跟其他的修行的人做好朋友，向他们学习很重要哈。And I would say the Chan Center is a very good place to do this.Because this is a place where you meet a lot of such good friends that the Buddha is talking about. For one thing, definitely filled with people with a great deal of generosity, who volunteer their time and efforts persistently over the years. Right now, cooking the food for our lunch, and doing many things, cleaning up the place afterwards. Of course, living the Dharma life by upholding the precept and by applying the wisdom we learned about impermanence and conditioned co-arising to the best of their ability. And every time I come to Chan Center, even without having the chance to talk to some, I learn many things from these bodhisattvas. So this is one of such place where we can find ourselves among many good friends. So if not here, then we want to make sure we find ourselves places we can find ourselves good friendship to lead to happiness. 那在这里禅中心地这里呢，就是好地方，好的在哪里呢？就是这里到处都是这些好朋友善知识。好，我们刚才讲的什么会布施的，这里菩萨各每一个都会布施，布施时间努力几十年就是在这里。现在菩萨就在楼下在帮我们准备午餐了，还有菩萨下午又来清洁这个道场了，不只是这一天，是每一天。所以呢，这里就很多很会布施的善知识菩萨，可以我们是可以结交，还有那个学习。好，当然呢，这些菩萨都是用他们的一直在学习努力的修行修行持戒啦，还有用修行佛法里面的那个增长智慧的。所以呢，这里好地方就是有很多这些好朋友，可以让我们佛教我们的结交好朋友，让我们可以向这些好朋友学习。我每一次来禅中心，就算没有机会跟这些老菩萨讲话，都是跟他们学习很多智慧，怎么布施，这个是都得益很多的。所以如果布施在这里，大家要想在什么地方可以有机会结交很多这些的好朋友，让你的生活可以更快乐。阿弥陀佛。Thank you.
Thank you very much for the speech.